Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. You're listening to part two of a two-part interview with developer Jeff Lefkovich, powered by Markentum.
We also have to be very mindful of the economics. So these new models have to be self-sustaining. And when we're talking about environments that are more affordable for, and now we're getting back to the generational issues, generations that are not financially prepared for a very long period of later life. So the model needs to address these issues, and one way of doing that is to rethink the business model. And what I mean by that is to scale it in such a way that it allows for reduced operating costs, so you can reduce the rental rates for independent, assisted, and memory support. But at the same time, it allows enough cash flow to raise the wage rates of those individuals who are doing an incredible job that not a lot of people are able to do effectively. So so we're talking scale. We're also talking diversifying revenue streams, multiple revenue streams through different businesses. The business component of housing and supports for aging adults, independent assisted memory support. The business component of multifamily housing, non-age restricted. The component of commercial and retail commercial leases, and a whole multitude of other types of programming that generates revenue. All of these components are interdependent. They feed off of one another. The general community population loves it because there's reasons to come on site, whether it's to patronize a business or to enjoy a performance at the amphitheater, whatever it is. It has to be much more broad in scope. But then it becomes no different as a typical neighborhood or small, sort of a microcosm within a larger community.
Okay. So one of the things that I love and why I think Jeff and I have a kindred spirit is because I think we both admitted from the panel, which you don't hear this much, I don't think, from the panel of like when people are looking at us up there, there's this preconceived idea that, hey, we've got it all figured out. We know exactly point A to Z. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
And Jeff and I both have launched into this, as have several others. When you start talking about it, you realize, wow, there's some people out there that get it, that are seeing the challenges, know the basic human development, see the weaknesses that we have, see how we can improve, and are literally saying, hey, let's go. Let's solve this problem. And I think we do have some huge challenges ahead of us because there's this whole design and meeting the basic needs and lifestyle choices and the whole development process. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's also, because there are so many different facets, very few groups, if any, in our space now or really in any space, really are able to own and be efficient at all of these different disciplines that exist in a true kind of multi-generational, a community, what we're referring to as a true community setting.
True community.
And also, you know, some of the challenges is if it's not a you know, you've got to, it is an economic model. It is, the pro formas have to work. The business model has to work. And because it's not really been fully done before, pieces of it have, is it crosses multiple disciplines. So you've got multiple financial model silos that have to, you've got to get them all on one piece of paper and say, this is how they kind of work together. So it requires a commitment, a collaboration between the developers, the owners and operators, the lending institutions, but even within those developers, owners, operators, and lending institutions, there's disciplines within those that are siloed. So, you know, I think what we're working on is you've got to bring all these people together, right?
Exactly. And I want to add one more layer to that, and that is the collaboration and commitment from the greater community. When we were developing the Heritage River Village model, we involved a great number of various stakeholders and groups with locally and regionally. So there was this collaborative effort in creating this. So when you're really bringing in the greater community, and you open your doors, now you have just so incredible dynamics between the property or the village and just the general population, because they want to use the facilities for different events. Like, for instance, you know, a multitude of meetup groups would want to use the space. Religious organizations would want to hold services. It just goes on and on and on, and it becomes very exciting. But there is no longer that segregation between the property and the greater community. Now it's just something that we're all feeding off of one another.
Interesting. And so this is based up in Connecticut, correct?
It is, yep.
And so do you think that that's unique only to that region because it's a particular region, or do you think that this is something that really kind of transcends a region?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's more of a community concept.
Absolutely. And there are pockets of similar types of communities that I'm learning about, and I'm hoping that they're going to come forward, because I almost see this as sort of a subset to this industry. I almost think that there's going to be sort of this other grouping, if you will, because like you were talking about, there's a lot more consideration when you're looking at other types of business functions, mm-hmm. That all have to work together. Mm-hmm. It creates different kinds of challenges and opportunities, but it can go anywhere. It will always be different, though. It will be different within an urban setting, a suburban setting, and an urban setting. And you really want to feed off of what's available within that particular location to begin with, and then work from that.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. That's a radical shift from our typical healthcare model, because I think, you know, it's not a bad thing, but what even we've tried to do as operators is you like to find a model. You like to design it. You like to, even if you build it multiple times, you're just constantly refining it. But it's all based on how can I maximize the efficiency of the operation. And so you build this box, this cookie cutter, and then you go build it multiple times. And I think to Jeff's point, conceptually, you're still trying to build to the basic human development and meet those goals. You're still trying to hit feasibility, but from a design standpoint and what it looks like, you know, the physical asset, it's going to look different in every location. Mm-hmm. Even an urban model, you could take the urban model that works in Connecticut, and that urban model may look very different in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I'm from, or in Orlando. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, as I referred to it on our panel, you're still creating those same barbershop conversations, right? And it's still going to feel the same because you're talking about community and how people interact and how people, as Jeff put it, develop.
Yeah, so with those things being said, it's apparent that there are some unique and obvious challenges, meaning that some of these things are complex, but probably the more of the complexity is just bringing all the pieces together. And so, Jeff, you're in particular on the front lines of this right now. You've kind of, your head is down. What do you find as, what's the barrier right now of actually getting this thing totally across the finish line? Is it the involvement? Is it capital? Is it permitting? What is it?
It's clearly capital, because what we have is a situation where investors, developers, are so used to the existing model, they see anything outside of that as suspect. And what has to happen is that these folks need to learn and understand and feel comfortable. And what's needed are some basically demonstration projects. Mm-hmm. We have conducted multiple feasibility studies. They all came back very positive. It was not the issue of entitlements or approvals, because once the community learned about what we were doing, they were thrilled. Where it's located, the community is looking to invest. They're doing everything they possibly can to help us, because not only do they see the benefits, economic benefits, and what it can do for workers, but just how it can propel that community as a community in the forefront of something as wonderful as this. So it's really the economics from an investment capital standpoint.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. And from our perspective, we're, you know, the things that we've been working on, what we hear from other folks that are trying to do similar, which is not that many, the financial piece is the hardest piece. And it is going to require, I think, a successful model and someone that says, we've done it, it's working. And along those lines, you know, kind of tied with the financial model, it is the partnerships coming together initially to make that first model work. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting because I know it's going to happen. I know you're going to be successful. And I know this is the future because everybody's starting to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost becoming like some buzzwords around this model. And even lenders are talking about it, and they're saying, we want to help you, but we're not operators, we're not developers, just help us understand it. And then bringing together, I think it's going to bring together the right team to the table that people are willing to take a risk, because we've got to take a risk to do something the first time.
Yeah. It's right? Truly a collaborative effort. This is not something where a single developer, operator, or me is going to do this in a vacuum. It really requires a collaboration of folks, because that just refines the model and it improves the model. And that's the approach that I think would work best.
Very interesting. It seems like a winning formula recipe to me, and I'm really I have a lot of respect for both of you men that you guys are very open to collaboration. You know, because you could take a route where it says, this is my idea and I'm going to keep it under a rock and I'm going to figure it out and then I'll be the winner and I'll take all the credit. And you guys really don't approach it that way. And this is probably the reason why you're on panels like HealthTAC and being able to do that. And so that collaboration piece, I'm really looking forward to seeing how all this stuff comes together. To be able to get this message out at events like HealthTAC and to be able to get it on Bridge the Gap podcast and to get this information out there, I think the more that we discuss, the more that we talk about it and get the information so that people can say, hey, you know what? I think I can contribute to this. I think I have an idea that really resonates with me. I see this as a future endeavor that communities will really embrace and that aging demographics and people just don't want to be siloed anymore. It's going to be a different way to do that. So I'll be very interested to getting the feedback. Once we put this out, people will be able to engage with us on our social channels and websites, and we'll make sure that we connect with Jeff and his information in the podcast notes and on YouTube and on LinkedIn and on Facebook and Instagram. And so any closing thoughts, Josh?
So I just want to spin off on the point that you were just making. This is just beginning. I mean, we are scratching at the surface. There's a lot of excitement around this. But when you and I, back several months ago, had, you know, kind of this crazy idea, we need a podcast because we need to be talking on a weekly basis about stuff like this. You know, today and the Bridge the Gap, this is just the beginning of the conversation. So many social media platforms to talk about this. We obviously want to hear other ideas, difference of opinion, that whole healthy friction, healthy discussion, that's how you make change. And so I'm really excited. Bridge the Gap is a platform for people to be able to collaborate.
Absolutely. So Jeff, just in some closing remarks, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what would be your admonition just as you kind of wrap up this thought process? You've really been involved in this. You're in the weeds, you're in the details, and you really have a heart for this. So what for some people out there that either want to get involved, or maybe this is the first time they're hearing about it, or maybe they've been hearing about it and they're like, it's time for me to act. What would you say?
You know, what comes to mind with that question is focusing on the why.
Okay.
First, because that creates the foundation. And just like everyone is experiencing the same journey through our human development, this is also a journey. And the goal line is that, as from a personal human development standpoint, I want to honestly, I want to leave this earth with a bang. And when it comes to creating a community model, I want that to lift off with a bang as well, because what it will do is it will allow people to just continue being themselves and to continue that personal human development journey.
Well, we're rooting for you, Jeff, and I really think that now is really the time to get there. And so thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I think this is incredible value to our listeners and just great content. And this is, you know, to talk about our why. This is part of the why for Bridge the Gap, right? Mm-hmm. We want to inform and influence and educate the community that of the industry that we love so much, which is in particular aging population, senior community, senior living. And I think that this is a great content to continue the discussion. So another great episode of Bridge the Gap. Josh, thank you so much. Safe travels, gentlemen, back to
thank
your
you so much.
Home states. And I hope you had a great health pack. And thank you for listening to Bridge the Gap.